Blog Talk Radio.
Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church. Oh, get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Gotta go home, yeah. Get right, church. Get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. I'm going home on the morning train, yeah. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home, oh, home. Oh, I'm going home on the morning train. Look, children, I'm going home on the morning train. Yes, I am. I'm going home, yeah. I'm going home on the morning train. Listen, one of these mornings and it won't be long. You look for me and I'll be gone. I'm to heaven just to jump and shout. Nobody there's gonna put me out. Get to heaven, gonna put on my shoes. Walk around heaven and tell the news. I know my robe is gonna fit me well, cause I tried it on at the gates of hell. And if you don't believe I've been redeemed, you can follow me down by the Jordan's stream. I'm gonna look up, David, in the heat of the day, and then tune, 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 tune my heart and begin to lay. When I get to heaven, gonna jump and shout, Lord, jump and shout, Lord, jump and shout, Lord. Talking about a good time. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. You better get right. You better get right. It's later than you think. It's later than you think. You better get right. You better get right. Right, right. You better get right. Get right. You better get right. Get right, church. And let's go home.
Thank you.
Okay, can anybody hear me now? Okay, Sister Cooper, you're on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, okay. All right. Again, thank you. Dealing with some technical difficulties. And welcome again to Wednesday night session of Bible study. Bible study with Brooks here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank God for this medium, and thank God for those of you who are able to listen and join in on a weekly basis. Tonight, we're studying in the Book of Revelations, and tonight we're still in chapter 2, and we're looking at the fourth church that Jesus addressed, the church at Thyatira. And before we go into the scripture, I want to be praying for those that are sick, those that are going through difficulties, hardship. Ask for you all to be praying for Sister Trevina Barnes. She's in the hospital. She's been in there several days. But look, she's on the mend. She is recovering, but she still has a little ways to go. Ask that you pray for her and pray for her family. While last night I got an opportunity to visit her there at the hospital, and it was a sad sight on last night. God gave me an opportunity to minister to a few people there at the hospital. I'm going to close some mics right now. God gave me an opportunity to minister to some people at the hospital last night. And these people, they had loved ones in the hospital and looked like it was just negative report after negative report that their loved ones were in trouble and their loved ones were on the brink of death and looked like there was no hope for their relatives making it past next couple of days. And so I had an opportunity to minister to some individuals, tried to give word of encouragement, had to feed some people on last night. But God gives us the opportunity to reach out to others and to show them the love of God within us and to help people to understand that even though we're going through these situations, we're facing the deaths of our loved ones, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned us or God has cursed us. It's simply a part of life. It's the part of life that we don't like. It's the part of life we try to ignore. It's the part of life we run away from. But even death is a part of life. And so all of us will have to deal with death unless Jesus comes back real, real soon. And so you trying to encourage people, and especially during death, sometimes our hearts get hardened and we get angry with God. Because the enemy puts in our mind, if God really loved you, he would have heard your prayer. If God was concerned about you, he would have answered your prayer. You prayed. It didn't do you any good. So why are you going to continue to pray? But we pray because prayer is the source of our strength. And we pray the prayer of faith, asking God for his blessing. But we know that there will be come a time that God will answer our prayer, not the way we would rather for it to be answered, but he will answer it according to his will and not necessarily our will. And in Sunday school, we were talking about that Sunday morning in our Bible, in Sunday school, and we looked, Sunday school lesson was dealing with the worship in heaven that John saw here, even the book of Revelation, fourth chapter, how he noticed how creation was worshiping God, how the worship was going. And we look at how the worship in heaven is as opposed to the worship here on earth. And we see that somewhere we have misinterpreted what God has desired from his creation. And the heavenly worship was, we see in the Bible, is God-centered. But the worship we have here on earth is people-centered. We are more in an entertainment mode. We are trying to entertain people rather than lead people into a worship of God, because God is holy. And so the things that we do is not God-centered, but it's more people-centered. And so when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray the way John had taught his disciples to pray, when he gave them this prayer, part of the prayer was, Lord, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we see how God's will is done in heaven in the fourth chapter of Revelation. And so this is how God's will should be done on earth. And they should match up. You know, Jesus told us, you know, part of our problem when it came to worship, you know, we didn't understand, is that Jesus said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so when we become people-centered, man-centered, then we sort of lose focus on God, and we try to do everything in order to entertain people and entertain the flesh. And we feel if we satisfy the flesh, we will satisfy the soul. But we really know better than that, but we sometimes yield to that thought process. Before I go into the lesson, the scripture, I shared something on Facebook that I saw yesterday that disturbing, that people would even publish this. If you look on my Facebook post, you will notice it. And it came from the USA Today newspaper website. And the subject was, GQ magazine puts Bible on list of classic books not worth reading. It incurs the wrath of Christians. And so this is what GQ magazine, if you don't know what GQ is, GQ is a fashion magazine for men. And GQ, I don't read it. Only time I did read it, I guess, maybe in my college years, I may have purchased two or three copies, you know, as a teenager. But it's basically, you know, fashion. And I really didn't go after the GQ look, so to speak, because basically I just never was into fashion person. And so it's a book that basically fashion for men. And so they were looking at several books, and they had a list of 21 books that you don't have to read. And one of the things that they state said, the Holy Bible is rated very highly by all the people who supposedly live by it, but who in actuality have not read it. Novelist Jesse Ball writes in the magazine, those who have read it know there are some good parts, but overall it is certainly not the finest thing that man has ever produced. Instead, Ball recommends reading Agatha Christoph's The Notebook, calling it a marvelous tale of two brothers who have to get along when things get rough. Also on the GQ list are such classics as The Catcher in the Rye, Lonesome Dove, The Old Man and the Sea, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, and The Lord of the Rings. In introduction to the piece, GQ editors attempted to justify their choices. We've been told all our lives that we can only call ourselves well-read once we've read the great books. We tried, the editors wrote. We realized that not all the great books have aged well. Some are racist and some are sexist, but most, they are just really, really boring. Perhaps predictably, the provocative proclamation about the Bible brought instant ire from Christians. Even if you do not believe it, this is an inspired word of God. In the last 50 years, 3.9 billion have read the book. Fox News religion contributor Father Jonathan Morris told Fox and Friends on Sunday. Morris also labeled the inclusion as just foolish and a shame. And evangelist Franklin Graham, in a post on Facebook, said that the Bible is sharper than a double-edged sword. There is nothing more powerful, there is nothing more needed by mankind than the Word of God. And so we see, people last few years have been attacking the church, and rightfully so. Started with revelations about pedophiles in the church, molesting children, molesting boys, molesting girls, revelations about greed in the church, revelations about other ungodly vices. And so people kept attacking the church and the flaws of the people who were in the church and who were in leadership positions, so to speak. But now, you see now that the world is getting even wicked and even bolder, that they would just say that the Bible itself is not worth reading, that those things that the Bible teaches, those things that the Bible command, are not really worthy of respect and worthy of honor, that the Bible is a boring book, that it is of no relevance for today. But the Word of God has relevance for today. The Word of God leads us and guides us into all truth, just like the Spirit. Without the Word of God and the Spirit of God leading and guiding us, we fall into error and we fall into falsehood. But this is the mindset that the world has, that I don't need God, I don't need the church, I can get to heaven on my own. If I'm just good, God won't send me to hell. God will forgive me of all of my sins. I guess I mentioned it last week about the Netflix movie that Carlton Pearson has that's on Netflix, giving his journey in going with this false teaching of inclusion that he has been spouting for the last few years, that got him labeled as a heretic and disassociated from most churches. And so we have these These are not new things, but in this day and age in which we live in now, the enemies of God have become more brazen and more bolder to reject God and to reject the things of God. And now we want to reject the Bible, being the Word of God. And so we want to reject Jesus. Why would people want to reject the Bible? Simply because the Bible not only shows us and leads us to salvation, the Bible also shows us our shortcomings. The Bible condemns those choices that we make that are contrary to the Spirit of God. And so as we read the Bible without the mindset of trying to become acceptable to God, and we are reading it and not trying to become regenerated or renewed, we're reading it like we read a how-to book. We want to pick and choose the portions that we feel that we need. I often hear people will give the expression that God wants us to come just as we are. And I tell people that's true. God wants us to come just as we are because we can't get ourselves together. We can't make ourselves holy and worthy and presentable before God. To come through Jesus, blood of Christ, what covers our sins. And so, yes, God wants us to come just as we are, but no teaching in Scripture indicates or infers that God wants us to stay the way we are. Yes, we come to the Lord just as we are with all of our shortcomings, but we ask the Lord to help us through prayer, through reading the Scripture, through opening our eyes and our understanding where we read the Scripture, and that Scripture leads us to cast off the way of the world, cast off the wrongdoing, cast off the shortcomings, and we try as hard as we can to live a life of holiness according to the Scripture. So let's get into this Word of God on tonight. Revelations, the second chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. And to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath the eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he, which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put up on you none of the burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keep my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as a vessel of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. So now we're here at the fourth church, the middle, the church that's in the middle, the fourth church. And the message to the fourth church is longer than the messages to the other churches, to the previous churches, the church at Ephesus, church at Smyrna, the church at in Pergamos. Is longer than those, and is even longer than to the other churches that will come up later, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So in this epistle, this church that Jesus is dealing with now is a church that has compromised itself. When I was a child, one of the things that, you know, was taught in school and taught in interacting with one another was this idea of we have to be able to compromise. Everybody has a difference of opinion, and your opinion is valued by yourself. Their opinion is valued by them. And sometimes our ideas may not mesh, and we may think that our idea is superior to another's idea. And so teaching us the art of compromise, where each side gives a little bit, and we reach a common ground that both parties can be satisfied with. And so in school and playing and sports and in games, in dealing with one another, you're taught to compromise. And I will never forget, as a child I was in church, and this idea came up that we, and even in church, came up one Sunday, that we have to learn how to compromise. And even as a child, I couldn't swallow that pill at church when it said that we have to compromise, because I'm thinking, the church has to follow the Bible. The Bible is what is God's word. And it's no need of us having a disagreement with God's word, saying we don't, our opinion is superior or just as equal to God's opinion. My attitude, being as a child, even as it is today, if it's God's word and this is what God has given, it doesn't matter what we feel like. We need to follow what God has said, because it's going to be God who's going to hold us accountable. And so the church here at, so this fourth church, this church was a compromising church. Jesus tells them, verse 19, I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, your patience, your works. I understand that you have done this, that you are growing in love, you're growing in service, you're growing in faith, you're growing in patience. And these are great attributes, and these are things that we as God's people should do. But then he says in verse 20 and 21, he says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. And if you notice, the first thing he says that you have allowed this woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And it says, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. So now he knows the church is doing a lot of good things, this church. But the church has become corrupted because it is listening to this prophetess or that has the spirit of Jezebel, and this Jezebel spirit is causing even the leaders of the church to become under the influence of the spirit, and they are not following what God would have, but they are doing other immoral things that is suggested or presented by this woman who has this spirit of Jezebel. Well, you'll ask the question, well, how would the men of God get so wrapped up that they would allow this false teaching to end up seducing them where they would end up committing fornication, where they would end up into idolatry, where they would become beguiled? Why are even the men of God being finding themselves in this situation? And so this is a question, good question. This is a question that needs to be asked. How could this prophetess, how could this individual come into the church, seduce the church with teaching that's contradictory to the word of God, and then get people to go along with this teaching as if it was from God? Well, the same thing that we have in today's time. We have so many people who will come with different doctrines, people who will come with different things. Excuse me, they will declare that these things are from God, that this is a new revelation that the Lord has shown me. And when people come talking about this new revelation that the Lord has shown you, if that revelation is not confirmed in the word of God, don't accept it. Here we have with this false teaching. This woman was actually teaching in the church. Now, other scriptures, you know, Paulette said that it was his suggestion that women keep silence in the church. But here in this church, we have this prophetess, and she was teaching in the church. And they were allowing her to teach in the church. Do you have anything against women teaching the church? No, I don't. As long as they teach according to the word of God. But this woman, this Jezebel, she was teaching things that were contrary to the word of God. And every time that you have a false prophet or false prophetess, understand when they first start, they're going to teach you sound doctrine because they're new, you don't know them, and rightfully so, you're going to check behind them, see if they are what they say they are. We're going to look at what they're teaching, see if it lines up with the word of God. But then sometimes we get comfortable with people and we stop searching the scriptures, making sure that what the people are continuing to teach is sound doctrine. And so they come with sound doctrine. After a while, we get comfortable with them. And then they start with this new revelation. They start teaching other things that, oh, this great discovery that I found in the word of God. We've been looking at this scripture all this time, and we didn't really see it. And as I was studying, God showed this to me. concerning this scripture. And so we stop checking and making sure that people are still teaching according to the Word of God. We're looking at what they used to teach as opposed to what they're teaching now. And so this is how these enemies of God slip through the cracks, that we stop being diligent in searching the scriptures and making sure that people are actually teaching according to the Word of God. So this woman was teaching in the church. She was a false teacher, and she was allowing to seduce the Lord's servants. And the church was allowing it. People were seeing what was going on. People were noticing what was going on. People were seeing and noticing that something is not right. But people were being silent and not speaking up. And silence is a form of consent. If we see something wrong and we don't speak up about the wrong that we see, it implies that we're going along with what we see. And so you had people who were seeing this error that was taking place. You were seeing people who knew that something was not right, but they would not speak up. They were afraid probably to speak up. And just like we are today, afraid of being ostracized, afraid of being criticized. And we just go along with the program, hoping and praying that the person will see the error of their ways. God called them to preach, so God will straighten them out. Understand, my brother, my sister, God didn't call everybody to preach. Scripture said what? Many are called, but what? Few are chosen. Some were sent, and others just went. And so we have this, these misleading and false teachings that were being taught. You ask the question, well, why would these men not just stand up and correct this woman? Why wouldn't these men just put their foot down and stop this false teaching? Why wouldn't these men just say, no, you need to go somewhere, you need to sit down, you need to get out of here? Why would the men allow this to happen? Well, when you're dealing with a seducing spirit, and I'm going to break what is called the bro code. You're dealing with the mindset of a man. And sometimes we bring into the church that worldly teaching that we had before we came into the church, the way we did things in the world. And one thing that with men dealing with women or their encounter with women when they're in the world, especially when men are in the world, is that if a woman is nice looking, that woman will get a pass from a man, even though there may be some things which she's wrong about, she's doing wrong, her ways are wrong, but because she is attractive, we will not come hard against that woman. And the reason we won't come hard is because in the back of the man's mind is that he does not want to mess up a possible opportunity of him being with that woman. That woman may have a boyfriend, but in the back of the man's mind, that boyfriend may mess up down the road. And so as long as I don't put her down and if something happens with that relationship in which she's in now, that I'll have a chance down the road. And so this is why these spirits can creep up into the church, and these false teachers, these Jezebel spirits come, and they're able to push forth their agenda, push forth their false teaching, is because the men find themselves don't want to put themselves in a position in case a door is open down the road that they may have an opportunity to have some type of a deeper relationship with the woman. And so the woman comes, this Jezebel, in this church, and she teaches these false doctrines, and people are caught up and they go along with what she's teaching. She's probably teaching it's all right to get drunk. Everybody gets drunk sometimes. Even Jesus drank wine. But a careful study of the scripture, we find out that Jesus didn't drink wine, took a Nazareth vow. Yeah, he made wine. He turned some water into wine. He created a whole lot of wine. He didn't drink it himself. Scripture tells us, take a little wine for our stomach's sake. But the scripture also warns us that wine is a marker, and have to be careful dealing with strong drinks. The scripture tells us that we are not to be drunk. And so the teaching of the Jezebel spirit teaches, well, God knows you're going to get drunk every now and then. If you get drunk, just ask God to forgive you. Sometimes, you know, you need some outside love. Your husband is not taking care of it in the bedroom. Your wife is not taking care of it in the bedroom. God understands. You sometimes have to step out. And you step out, get what you need, and ask the Lord to forgive you. God will forgive you. God has to forgive you because you are his child. And so with the Jezebel spirit comes and it teaches these things. And we have these Jezebel spirits running rampant in the church today. People are committing adultery and see nothing wrong with it. People are worshiping idols. See nothing wrong with it. People are breaking the word of God, breaking the law of God, transgressing God's law, and see nothing wrong with it. People in the church who yoke themselves up with unbelievers, the people, the children who are brought up in the church, raised up in the church, but then can't hold out until God unites them another believer, and they go out, they marry unbelievers. And the scripture, been taught the scripture all their life, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion have light with darkness? But yet and still, we go and we do these things because we become like Samson. Our eyes are attracted to the strange woman. Our eyes are attracted to the strange man. Our eyes are attracted to those sensual qualities that lead us away from God. And so this woman who was teaching and preaching, what she was doing, she was drawing God's people away from a close relationship with God. They were getting caught up in the worldly lifestyle. They were getting caught up in trying to look good to society. They were trying to fit in and blend in with society. They didn't want society angry with them. They didn't want to be called all types of names. They didn't want to be called as holy rollers and all of the other names that people make fun of the Christian with. And so they went along with this because this made the world comfortable. And so, and it made those who were trying to hold on to the world comfortable as well. But Jesus says he's dealing with this spirit, this Jezebel spirit in the church, that he will take this teaching and the one who is pushing his teaching and cast him into a sick bed. And not only cast this individual into a sick bed, but cast those who commit adultery with her, those who follow her teachings, those who are influenced by her teachings, they will also be cast into a sick bed. They'll go through the same affliction that she's going to go through. They'll become spiritually sick. They'll become physically sick. They will end up with the same fate that she will end up with. And so he's telling church, be careful of this Jezebel spirit that is attacking the church, because it leads you away from true fellowship with God. And so this word has to reach to those others in the church who have not been swept up with the Jezebel teaching, who has not been swept up with the Jezebel influence, who are still faithful, who are still holding on to the word of God, holding on to the word of God, but maybe not vocal in their opposition, because it seems that most of the people want to go along with it. Nobody sees anything wrong with it, and it sounds good because I can, what she's teaching me is I can continue to do what I've been doing, and I can still be a child of God. I can hold on to what I've been doing and still call myself a child of God. The faithful must hold fast. The faithful must hold on. The faithful must hold on to the true teaching of God. We live in a day and time where people are falling by the wayside. The pastor, the prophet, the bishop, the apostle, the teachers are falling by the wayside and teaching a false gospel and compromising on every hand. But just because those who are in leadership are doing wrong and you're not in leadership, you should not go along with that which is wrong. You know the word of God. You read the word of God, and you see what is happening is not according to God's word, not according to the scripture, but you see a false teaching going forth. You see a corrupted lifestyle being led. You see people being taught another gospel. Now, my brother and sister, you shouldn't go along with that, because you know better, and you know what the scripture says. And so you should be like the faithful people at this church. Yes, you've been dealing with this compromise. Yes, you've been dealing with your brothers and sisters falling by the wayside. Yes, you've been dealing with this evil prophetess teaching these false doctrines. But you know the word of God. You know what thus saith the Lord in his scriptures. And since the scriptures have taught you the way of God, those are the things that you should hold on to. Yes, people are still worshiping idols. No, they're not worshiping idols that are carved out of stone. They're not worshiping in the groves and not worshiping statues, but People are worshiping jobs. They're worshiping positions. They're worshiping money, worshiping their possessions. They're worshiping pleasure. They're worshiping sports. We, in our society, we worship sports now. When I was a child, it was considered rude to be playing sports on Sunday. And so we had to compromise. Couldn't play basketball until church was over. But now, growing up, you didn't see college sports played on Sunday. But now, nobody wants to give God any recognition, God, any time. So Sunday has become a big day for sports. The NFL, the games are on Sunday. In this area from 12 in the afternoon, rather, until almost 10:30 at night. Then come back on Monday. And then come back on game on Thursday. And so and people get caught up in worshiping the sports. And I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. I'm a Ram fan. I'm a Steeler fan. And it's sad to say. And then people come September, people will stop going to church in September, from September to December, so they can stay at home and watch football, so that they can look at different football games, throw God to the side, but call themselves children of God. And it's a sad state of affairs, because we worship the football more than we worship God. Football may take you to the Super Bowl, but the football will never give you eternal life. Football may score a touchdown, but football will never save your soul. And so we worship these sports. We worship our business. We worship our families. We worship everything else, and put these things before God. And then we wonder why the world is so wicked. Why is the world so bad? It's because we are constantly rejecting God. What the world needs to do, what the church needs to do, is to repent and ask God to forgive us. So, church, don't let the spirit of deception cause you to miss out with God. Again, there are going to be those who come into the church, and they're going to come with all types of strange doctrines. They're going to come trying to teach you something that is different than you've been taught. May not try to teach you sexual adultery, but it'll teach you spiritual adultery, where you cheat on God spiritually. But the scripture said it'll lead to a sick bed. And when you find yourself in a state of affairs, find yourself sick and close to death, find yourself sick and can't get well, but then you'll call the pastor, "Pastor, please come pray for me." And yes, the pastor's going to come pray for you. But the pastor probably should tell you, since you worship the Cowboys, call Jerry Jones, come pray for you. Call Dez Bryant to come visit you. Call some of the other Cowboys who you're worshiping to anoint you with oil, lay hands on you, and pray the prayer of faith that you may be delivered. But they won't call them because they understand in the times of trouble, those individuals have no power, but the power resides in God. Well, we thank God tonight for this Bible study. I also want to encourage you to be praying for my wife's family. I mentioned, I think, it last week, they lost a cousin. She passed in Canada several weeks ago. She was living alone, and it was a while before her body was discovered in her apartment. And so we're having a memorial service this Saturday at 1 o'clock in Covington, Tennessee. And ask that you pray for my family, pray for all of God's people, that the Lord will bless us, that the Lord will strengthen us. Pray for the New Birth Church family. Pray for the young people, the children at the church. Just sad times in that days that we're living in. You saw the news about the man walking into the Waffle House with nothing but a jacket on and killed several people. Here in Memphis, think of 15-year-old girls walking to school, minding her own business. And she was, some devil pulled a knife on her, threatened her, drug her to a vacant house and raped her. Have all types of evil in this world. My brothers and my sisters, this is why we have to continue to hold on. We have to pray for one another, and we have to pray for God's guidance. The enemy is out to destroy us. The enemy doesn't care who he destroys, and he will try to destroy every soul by any means necessary. It is up to us as children of God to be vigilant, to be sober, and to be on guard that we do not be sifted like wheat by Satan, but that we stay ever vigilant and keep our trust and faith in God. Thank you for being on tonight. Thank you for tuning in. And next week, we go into the third chapter of Revelation, and we are studying the next church. Anybody have any prayer requests? Any special announcements? Next week's lesson coming from Revelation, third chapter, verses 1-6, the church in Sardis. All right, I thank God for you. Thank God for you, sister, Ms. Derek Cooper. I'm going to ask that you lead us in a word of prayer, and we're going to close. Okay, Sister Cooper is gone, I'm assuming. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity that you've given us to come into fellowship and to worship tonight. Dear Lord, we ask that you would bless every soul who would hear this message, that they would open their eyes and that they would see you. Dear Lord, we ask that you would look on those who are sick, those who are shut in. We pray that you would touch sick bodies. We pray that you would touch sick minds. We pray that you would bless our children, bless our grandchildren, and all who come in contact with us. Dear Lord, we pray that you would help us to be able to lead others to Christ, that you would help us to be overcomers, that you would help us to continue to do your will. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for strength. We pray for healing. I pray that you would touch my mother. I pray that you would touch her body, that you would bless her, that you would give her strength in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done. Have your way right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Sister Cooper?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong microphone. Wrong button.
Okay. That's all right.
And so, but God bless you. Thank you all.
Yes, sir.
And have a great night. God bless.
Yes. God bless you.
See you next
too.
Week.
Bye-bye. Yes, sir. Bye-bye.